There is a brand new podcast series coming from Hattrick. Well, I suppose it's a scripted comedy series. It's called You've Got Braille, and we're going to be chatting with Rhys Finnegan, who is a scriptwriter and appears in the podcast as well. Rhys, tell me a little bit about yourself first. How did you get into this area of work?
I've always been interested in comedy and writing, so I do quite a lot of comedy writing and producing for my job. So the podcast series and working with Hattrick and all that stuff kind of came through that. But yeah, I've been working in TV now for coming up to 10 years. I've always been a massive fan of anything kind of entertainment, really. I always loved TV, but I never knew that it would be possible to work in it. You know, I've been registered blind since I was a teenager. So I guess there were naturally felt like there were a lot of hurdles to working in TV. But yeah, basically after I came out of university back in 2017, I started doing work experience at lots of different TV companies. Found my way to Hattrick at the start of 2018, and that's where all this started, really. I have been a producer on Strictly Come Dancing, Last One Laughing for Amazon, The Last Leg on Channel 4, Weakest Link, you know, yeah, writing, producing, scripting, all that kind of stuff. And then in the background of all of that, I guess I've been trying to work on my own stuff, done a bit of social media and content creation. I have a channel with my wife that we set up during lockdown and still kind of do to this day. So it's come to You've Got Braille, which is very exciting.
I mean, I'm not giving too much away by saying you know, the character's blind. It's about everyday life and those kind of stereotypes as well.
Absolutely. That was my real goal for this, was always to just create something that felt very authentic and really real to the everyday blind experience, but also very relatable for everyone. When I first pitched this, I felt that there wasn't really anything out there. I'd never really watched a kind of blind character on TV that felt like they were just a regular person that did regular things. And so that was a really big kind of motivator of mine to write this series. After I'd finished working at Hattrick, I contacted the owner, Jimmy Mulville. You know, Hattrick have made tons of amazing comedy, like Derry Girls, Outnumbered, Have I Got News For You. And as I say, had a meeting with Jimmy Mulville and he liked it. He put me in touch with their comedy department, who took me on, and then basically have been writing it with a very, very talented comedy writer called Jack Bernhard. You know, we knew exactly what we wanted from it and what kind of tone we wanted to set. But it wasn't until last year when the RNIB got involved. They teamed up with Hattrick and executive produced the project. And that's basically what made it possible, really. As you said, like a sitcom meets a podcast with lots of immersive audio elements, and then also with these incredible actors that Hattrick managed to get to come and voice some of the characters. So yeah, it was all just very it was all very surreal how it came together.
I've been part of the team at RNIB here who've been looking at the scripts and feeding stuff back to you guys, and for me as a blind person, what jumped out to me was it's not just for blind people. You know, this is for everyone to listen to, have a laugh at. It's done in such a fun way, but the message gets out as well. You know, it really covers a lot of bases here.
I think the easiest way to bust myths about blindness is through comedy and making people laugh, because I think so many people are just really uncomfortable about the subject. And I think if you can approach stuff with humor, try and show people that it's not all doom and gloom and miserable. You know, obviously being blind is very, very hard and presents lots of obstacles, but we can very much live fulfilling lives and have a fun time, and these things happen to us whether you're blind or not. If you look in the news, for example, and see how blind people are represented in everyday media, it's like you're either this incredible inspirational person who's like climbed Kilimanjaro, or you've clearly got like a very sad life and you need help. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like there is something yeah exactly, there's no middle ground. And I feel like what we needed was a very regular portrayal, which is just something a little bit silly and someone who makes stupid decisions and goes on nights out and goes to the pub and goes to work and makes a fool out of himself. Do you know what I mean? An ordinary life. It doesn't have to be extraordinary.
And we're not Daredevil.
Yes. I would say pretty much nearly everything that happens to the main character in the show has happened to me in real life. Some of it I've probably exaggerated along the way, but but I would say, yeah, the majority of the awful, embarrassing incidents have happened. For example, pulling the emergency alarm in the disabled toilet, mortifying interactions with people at work where I've started a new job and they have taken me round like the longest way possible to get to my desk because they wanted to avoid like one step that they thought I would trip over. Handing me things in Braille when I can't read Braille, sitting me a million miles away from the rest of my team because there's a disabled toilet next to me. There's lots of different things. I've tried to include stuff that's funny to laugh about. I think there's enough things that happen to you when you're blind that make you feel small or insignificant or make you even like worried to go outside. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like I've tried to avoid any of those really serious things and just go for the things that you can kind of embrace and are funny and are people kind of trying their best, but ultimately maybe making a few mistakes.
Yeah, wait till you go to flush the toilet and you hit the button that actually stops at the train. You know, that's the biggie.
Oh, I've never done that. That is bad.
Yeah, don't. We get a round of applause, though, from people who get compensation if the train's late, I suppose, at the end of the day. So, when you were thinking about going into the industry itself, you did mention that you think it may be for you. Did you ever think that behind the scenes would maybe be as far as you go? Was there a desire to be in front of the mic or in front of the camera?
I've always enjoyed in front of the camera, in front of the mic stuff. I've never really had an end goal. I've always just thought, well, I'll just write something that I think is funny and then hope that other people find it funny. Yeah, to be honest, I just kind of blag it as I go and just see what happens. And to be honest, the especially daunting thing with this was is that obviously the main character is blind, and I didn't realize when we wrote it that I would be voicing that character. As someone that hadn't done that much voice acting before, that was incredibly daunting to then get into the booth recording for 3 days straight with like these amazing actors like Alison Steadman and Steve Pemberton, and I'm just there like, what on earth is going on? How have I ended up in this booth with these people who are proper actors? Yeah, it was a real baptism of fire, and it was just really surreal.
I'm desperately trying not to give anything away here, but every character in that is fantastic. I could probably go, I know that person, I know that person, I know that person. The taxi driver character, I think, is first class.
Thank you. It was a massive thing for me. Being in a taxi is such an inherent part of being a blind person. I feel like I spend over 50% of my life just traveling in a taxi. I've always said I'm a little bit of a rubbish blind person in that I'm not amazing. I use a cane. I don't have a guide dog, unfortunately. I'm not like the best at getting myself around, so I do end up having to get taxis a lot. I think I single-handedly keep Uber in business, to be honest. I thought I just really want this to be kind of a big part of the show, because I think there's something really nice forming an unlikely friendship with someone that you have literally nothing in common with, but you spend a lot of time with. When I was in my early 20s and I first moved to London, I was living in this absolutely horrible flat in Kentish Town, and I had a taxi driver who used to drop his kids off at school around the corner from our flat, so he was kind of always around to pick me up, which was really, really lovely because I had like a kind of regular driver, and he was a very eccentric man, but we got on really, really well, and it was just like a really, really lovely unlikely friendship. And I thought that's a really nice premise to use for a show like this. A lot of it is very much based on stuff that happened to me in my 20s.
There are some wonderful characters in this, and part of it, there's sport comes into it. Do you get involved in sports yourself? Is that how you relax or kind of time out, chill out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I play blind tennis myself, and one of the episodes is based at a tennis tournament because I spend a lot of my time there, and I think they are a brilliant source of comedy. If you have a sports venue with 50 visually impaired people knocking about, I feel like funny things are bound to happen at some point during that day. I've always loved tennis. I mean, I used to play cricket when I was a kid and then transitioned into tennis because I always watched it with my mum when I had better sight. I mean, I could never really see what was going on, but when she cheered, I just cheered, and that was nice. Then I got older and I found out that blind tennis was a thing that they'd invented over in Japan. It's one of those things where like every time I'm on court playing, I just think, wow, like I never ever thought I'd be able to do this. It uses like so many skills, you know, having to try and listen to the ball, but you know, the ball has a sound in it, the lines are all tactile so you can feel where you are. It's just awesome, and you can really just zone out from whatever's going on.
Amazing how things just in everyday life can get into something like this. They can be funny, they can myth bust, all that kind of thing. It has combined into a great series, so we will be letting people know when the series is out. Do have a listen to it. It is fantastic. If people though would like to follow you on your socials or anything, can you do that?
I am on socials alongside my wife Sophie as at Blind and Blonde. She is blonde. And we're on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Well, Reese, appreciate your time. You're a busy guy, but thanks for chatting with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.